The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Well, good morning, Shasta County. It is Sunday. It's a beautiful Sunday, May 19th. Broadcasting live here in downtown Redding, KCNR, 1460 AM or 96.5 FM. You can also listen on the World Wide Web streaming at www.kcnr1460.com. Good morning. Once again, it is great to be with all of you that are actually listening live. We're going to do a lot of call-ins today. So actually, if you want to call in and if the calls are stacked, please be patient. I'm going to try and get through them as fast as I can. But that number to call in is 530-605-4567. Again, 530-605-4567. Our weather today is always brought to you by Weather NorCal and Mike Kruger. Friend of mine, not a paid sponsor, but that's where I go to get my weather every day. And we're getting to the point of the year now where we know it's just going to be like walking on the sun, and that's just the forecast. But here's what Mike sent us for today. Summer paid us a visit last week with some of the hottest daytime highs of the year. However, spring is taking back control of the weather this week with highs back down to the low to mid-80s under mainly sunny skies. The good news is it looks like this trend will stick around for a while with no major heat waves in sight. That is good news, because I went to the rodeo last night, and I'll probably talk a little bit about the rodeo throughout, but that was the first time I had been to the rodeo probably in 30, 35 years. I'm not I support the rodeo. I love the rodeo. I love what it stands for. I love the faith, family, country vibe. I remembered it having like 30, 35 years ago, and it was the same exact last night on Veterans Night, but it was my 12-year-old son's first rodeo, as well as my wife's first rodeo she had been to, and she's a, you know, lifelong Shasta County resident. So getting to enjoy that with the both of them was awesome, and thank you to everybody that helps put on the Redding Rodeo. And it looks like we actually – do we have our first caller, Christina, already that has called in? And we haven't even talked about a topic yet.
Unfortunately, no. Somebody call in and –
and they hung up. Okay, yep. No problem. Again, that number is going to be 530-605-4567. And Christina, how are you doing, by the way? Last night was your first rodeo, correct?
Yes, it was. It was my first rodeo in our son's life. It was kind of it was interesting because it was American culture. I was invited, included, introduced to that. It was interesting for me. But at the same point, when there was fighting, I don't know what is the best word for choose, with the small cows.
You mean like the team roping and that kind of stuff?
Yeah, it's hurting my feelings. I don't know.
Hurt your feelings? Yeah, I can understand that. I talked to the cows this morning though, and they said they're just okay. Fine, and they appreciate it.
And the guy who I guess he broke his arm when he was falling out from the horse.
You know, I think I remember that one because I remember a guy grabbing his arm. I mean, that's
yeah,
one thing.
Yeah, he just like fell like on the arm, like on the head, and he was like protecting his head with the arm, and I guess like it was kind of fatality for him.
Yeah, rodeo is no joke. I've worked with a couple different people that have done that vocationally, actually, and it is not for the faint of heart. It's extremely dangerous, and I'm glad to see. I think every single person that did the bareback or the bulls all wore helmets because that wasn't the norm, of course. Nobody did it years and years ago, and then even, I don't know, I think someone had said about 10 years ago, people still weren't wearing the helmets all across the board, but now I don't think I saw one person not wearing a helmet that was actually doing one of those two events. So I'm glad you got a chance to experience that. So this week I was in Monterey, and I was in Monterey for the Rural County Representatives of California, which is also called RCRC, and it was raining down in Monterey, and in Monterey, if you don't go down there very often, it's like perfect weather right now if you like, you know, weather in like the 60s, maybe low 70s when it's a little overcast in the morning. I like that. I wouldn't want to live in that forever, but it was great because I got a break this week. But I went straight from Monterey on Friday when I was coming back, and I came straight to West Valley High School to the North Section track finals where my daughter and many athletes from across the North Section were competing to go on to state. And, again, if you've been to West Valley High School, it's very dry and it's out there. There's no shade and you felt like you were just in an oven baking and it's not even that hot yet. So, with that, so here's the lineup, I guess you'd say, for the show today. Here's some things I really want to talk about and I'd like people to call in a little bit. And one of the topics that we have on our board meeting for this week is we're going to get a presentation on the jail. And it's a night meeting, so if you're interested, 5:30 p.m. is when our meeting starts. Now, we are going to start the meeting at 5:30, then we're going to go immediately into closed session, which is supposed to take estimated time 30 to 45 minutes. Sometimes we get through much quicker. Once in a while, we'll go far longer. So the estimated time is 45 minutes. If we do get done much, much faster, let's say we get done at 5:50 or 5:55, we won't restart the meeting out of our recess until 6 p.m. So at the earliest, we will start that at 6 p.m. And here's the reason I did that is I wanted to make sure that if people wanted to come, that we would be able to not have any commercial breaks or interruptions other than some of the speakers, but we'll go into that here in a little bit. So we have our first caller, and I'm guessing I did talk to Nick earlier. Nick, are you there?
I am here.
Hello, Nick. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing terrific. Things are good with me, you know, and things are good with my kitty cat.
Well, that's
good. 2 weeks ago, I was sitting out front talking on the phone after your show, half hour after your show, and my cat got mauled by a pit bull.
Well, that's not good.
And she had about a 5-inch cut on her tummy, but it was skin deep. And I don't have a veterinarian, and I wouldn't spend $2,000 on a cat anyway. So I stitched her up myself, and you know what? She's doing pretty good.
That's great. All right, so I talked to Nick this morning because I told him I was going to take some call-ins because one of the topics today or this coming Tuesday's meeting, we're going to get a presentation about the jail. And Nick, as you have a show opposite Sundays of me, and I respect you and Doug's banter back and forth, so I would encourage you guys after the meeting this Tuesday maybe to discuss it a little bit on your show next week. But we can't afford a new jail here in Shasta County without a sales tax. I've worked with Nolda Short, our auditor controller, since I've been elected. I mean, she, and I've said this before, she's my favorite elected official. You know, blah, blah, blah. Everybody's heard that. But what I love about Nolda is it's about numbers and it's about digging into the data to get to a result that you want to be able to prove out or say we can't. One of the things in recruiting and hiring a CEO, and Dave Rickard, our county CEO, has done a phenomenal job, a great job. Being a 20-plus year elected official as a treasurer, he understands numbers and data and money as well. So between him and Nolda, you know, and I'm not going to speak for Dave, but I will say Nolda and I, as elected officials, both say, like, there's no way we can afford a jail unless we have a sales tax. Now, I've never been, nor am I, for a sales tax. But right now, and this is why I called Nick, is the conversation, Nick, that I wanted to have with you a little bit is, you know, you're a very, very conservative individual, like I am. You know, some would maybe even say, you know, slightly to the right of Attila the Hun, right? Tongue in cheek.
Cheap.
But
I refer to myself as frugal, but some people call me cheap.
Cheap, okay. And so Nick, you've said that you would actually support a sales tax. And just so people understand, if it's a general tax, it has to just pass. It's just a 50% vote. If it's a specific tax, it's got to be 2/3. So tell me, Nick, why you think you would want to see a sales tax here in Shasta County to pay for the jail.
Well, the reason I want to see a sales tax in Shasta County to pay for a jail is because crime is out of control. The police can't control it if there isn't any consequences for the people. Just write them a citation and ha, 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 and we're down the road. I did a survey a couple years ago. Well, it was when Clemente proposed his 1 cent safety tax, and I was in front of probably 200 people, and I asked if they would support a specific tax. The money only went to a jail, and two-thirds of the hands went up. I says, are you going to support this safety tax? And about a quarter of the hands went up. That tells me that people will go a 1 cent sales tax, maybe even just a half cent if you have to, if it's specific to a jail. And, you know, it could even be maybe a gas tax, a 1 cent gas tax. You might check on that. But the thing is, you know, we are getting more and more and more criminals here in Reading. Remember Jason Miller? He saw the 50 parolees dumped off down south of town straight from San Quentin. I see them all around town, and it needs to be addressed. We've needed a jail for a long, long time. 300 beds isn't enough, but if that's all we're going to get, we'll take it for now. And if you had a sunset on that tax, say in 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, where the voters could vote whether they want to continue it and build like rehab facilities or whatever for these people, then it's up to the voters. If they're satisfied with the way the money's being spent, I dare say they would do that. But right now, our community is not safe. About 5 years ago, I had to use a gun to defend myself on a home invasion right here at my house. And I had an incident about a month and a half ago to where I had my gun in my hand underneath a magazine thinking things were going to go sideways. And yeah. I'd be happy to talk to you about those sometimes.
Yeah.
And now they want to make it to where you can't even have a gun to defend yourself.
Yeah. You know, and that's the one thing, Nick.
I shouldn't have to have a gun to defend myself. I shouldn't have to have a gun in my pocket.
Yeah. And that's...
And everybody else. And yeah. I just believe that if it was a specific tax, we could get it if it's sold right. Not too many hands in the pot. You know, as I said before, if we had a jail to lock up the criminals, the caseload on the district attorney would go down, the defender's office would go down, the police would have a much easier time controlling the chaos that goes on in Reading after it gets dark.
Hey, well, Nick, let me interject. First of all, that's not good. I didn't know that you had a home invasion and had to deal with that. So I'm sorry you had to deal with that. But that's one thing I told people a lot actually recently, as we've slowly brought this jail presentation forward, as the analysts that are preparing it are getting it ready for. This Tuesday, I just told people, I said, look, I said, the best thing you could do concerning the jail and public safety is get a CCW and actually practice with your weapon or your firearm of choice, whether it's just a shotgun for home defense or you're going to use a handgun of some type.
But the thing about that is, Kevin, we shouldn't be put in that position.
No, I agree, Nick, and that's why for me, I'm going to encourage anybody that's listening today or that want to actually come. I mean, I would really, really, I mean, it's not very often that I'm, I always encourage people to come and speak in public comment. However, public comment has really been hijacked by about 8 to 10 people that fill out a card for every single item, and they waste a lot of people's time because really they're up there because they have nothing else to do maybe with their life than just come up there and complain. And for me, you know, I would encourage people to come out to public comment this week and express your thoughts about a sales tax or not. Again, you know, I ran on we'll always look to lower your taxes, make life less expensive here in Shasta County, and I hold to that. But I'll tell you, I'm very conflicted with this jail topic and conversation because we definitely need more beds. Some people still, you know, hold to the hope of building it out of town, and there isn't one person that is an analyst that's as they run numbers say that that's a good idea. Now, geographically, in terms of the look and everything else, yeah, I would love to have a new jail built out of downtown Reading, maybe on the outskirts, but in just sheer cost of transportation and everything else, the cost just compound and it just makes it so much worse. And the reality is we need to build a jail, and downtown is the best place for it to go. But when I say we need it, we do definitely need it, but how we're going to pay for it is different. And all right, so Nick, hey, thanks for calling in. Please make sure.
Well, one more thing I want to point out.
Sure.
You know, I see these macho guys. If he come after me, I'll shoot him. You know, that's a very that would be just devastating to have to shoot somebody.
Oh,
they
for
might
sure.
think they're tough before they do it, but when they kill somebody's kid. It doesn't matter how dysfunctional that kid is. Somebody loves him. A family loves him.
Nick, you're a thousand percent right. We're getting calls stacked up, so I'm gonna
thank you for having me.
You bet, Nick. Enjoy that cat.
Oh, I will.
All right, thank you. All right, we're gonna go to Betty. Betty, are you there? Betty, are you there? Hello? Well, I hear some.
Yes, yes.
Hey, Betty, this is Kevin Cry. You're on?
Yes. Yes, I want to mention that down in Anderson here, we have higher sales tax, and it was put on for our police department, I believe.
Correct, yeah. No, Sheriff Johnson was the police chief, when that sales tax went through. Correct. And how long have you lived in Anderson, yes. Betty?
I've lived here probably 10 years.
10 years, yeah. I mean,
and I don't know how long the sales tax has been on, but... I hear, you know, we have a pretty good police department here, and because of the sales tax is what it was.
Yeah, no, that it was definitely. I mean, I grew up in Anderson. My mom still lives in Anderson. A lot of friends still live in Anderson. District 5 is phenomenal. Love it. One thing's for sure about the sales tax in Anderson, it was very specific. And one thing I would say, too, and the only thing I could really get on board with would be if the tax had a sunset, so we pay for it and then get out. But our sales tax, I believe Chico's is higher than Redding's. I believe Anderson is as well. But, Betty, thank you for calling and sharing that. It matters to me. And so let me ask you, Betty, would you support a 1% sales tax?
Well, I don't know how much higher Anderson's is than Redding. Do you know?
I do not know. That's a great question. I'm sure someone will call in and probably, or someone could text that to me. So if someone wants to text that to me, that
yeah, I'd support it. I think
it's a half
right
cent.
Now, just to stay in Anderson, you're going to pay extra tax.
Yeah. Well,
for and, everything you buy.
Yeah, and Anderson. I mean, it went through a period of time, and there's a lot of variables, like the mills closing. The socioeconomics changing. I mean, there's a lot of things that have that Anderson has changed in the last 20 or 30 years. But definitely, it's definitely safer today than it was 10, 15 years ago, for sure. Betty, thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate you listening.
Yes, bye-bye.
Okay, going to go to the next call. Terry, are you there?
Definitely.
Hello?
Hello.
Oh, hey, Terry. How you doing?
Hey, how are you, Kevin? Yeah, I've got a quick question for you. You know, we were told for years now by the Board of Supervisors that we wouldn't need a sales tax and we had the money to open jail. And so this is sort of new news. Sal and I won't be able to be at the meeting on Tuesday, but we were told that we weren't going to need a sales tax, and I don't know if I'd be opposed to it, although I agree with Nick in the fact that we have to have a sunset clause in there, because once you get a tax, you always have a tax. And Is it something that solves the problem with 1 cent? That's a lot of money. I mean, does that solve the problem? And is there specificity on exactly, you know, how that's going to work? The last thing is the lion's share of that money probably is going to go to, or part of it's going to go to RPD. It's going to go to law enforcement, only because I just don't see it being specifically for the jail. I just think it's going to float.
Well, it'd have to be, I mean, again, I don't know, Terry, and this is just the conversation, is I don't know that I would support it regardless if it was a very, very specific where it needed to be 2/3 and it went to a jail or, I mean, because let's face it, there's no way the public is, I mean, when Joe Comente did his, I mean, it got crushed and who would trust the government to say, yeah, we're going to agree to this sales tax and we're going to trust you, the government, to actually spend it wisely. I mean, there's no flipping way. So,
well, the thing is that California is letting loose another 4,000 prisoners here in the next couple of months.
Yeah.
The laws always change. I mean, is there ever going to be enough room in the jail, or do we have to take a different posture? Do we have to take a stronger posture in law enforcement? Do we have to take a stronger posture as citizens in in defense of ourselves and basically in defense of our county. We have to do something. I mean, nothing is going to stop, no matter if we had a jail that had 1,000 beds. It depends on what's a crime and what's not a crime. And if nothing's a crime anymore and I can steal $900 in a store and walk out of there and get a ticket, you know, and I can shoot heroin up on the streets and on and on and on, then, you know, the jail isn't going to solve the crime problem.
Exactly. Well, because we've decriminalized crime. So
that's exactly correct. And
yeah,
that's what the state's done. So we have to stand, what the supervisor should do is pass some ordinances that are stronger. For one thing, a resolution that law enforcement will not enforce anything that's unconstitutional according to the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of California. That we start holding the line as a county. I mean, all this other stuff is superfluous. We can have the biggest jail in the world, but if everything's a crime, who are we going to fill it with? The people like maybe Nick, who saw a guy in his backyard, and I'm not saying he did, but, you know, let's say that a guy sees somebody in their backyard and they're trying to rip them off, and you go over and hit them with a baseball bat, and now you assaulted them. I mean, the law is upside down. The jail doesn't fix that.
Exactly. Well, and that's kind of my point with a lot of this. This is where I think the public needs to be able to really get an inside look, and that's why this presentation's coming. It's you know, there's going to be, you know, two or three little options, but I mean, I haven't seen it yet. It's going to be finished tomorrow morning, and that's one of the very first things I will do once it hits my inbox. I will be over there meeting with staff, and I'm sure all the other supervisors will as well. But there's no part of me that wants to placate or wants to posture to the citizens and the residents of Shasta County and say, hey, well, here's our plan. No, the plan is we can't afford it. There's no way, you know. And one of the things I'm going to do too is I'm going to ask Noel DeShort, and I guess I'm doing it right now on air, but I'm going to ask Noel DeShort at some point to do a video with me for probably 30, 45 minutes of going back the last 10, 15 years about, you know, the cash flow of the county, where money maybe could have been put aside but wasn't, which is fine. It's not about really going back, but it's just showing the trajectory of the money we have, because honestly, the majority of our general fund goes towards the sheriff's department, as it should. It's public safety. Well, the only place to cut really for the jail would be in public safety. Well, that makes
That's
no
right.
sense. You can't cut your sheriff's
right.
department's budget way back
right.
to pay for a jail. It's
right. And so the thing is, too, is when you have this presentation, it'd probably be a good idea to see if we can find any legislation, which I know we can, that's in the hopper in committee or anything that's making crime more accessible and easier for the criminals to do. Because if we have more laws coming out, we're having a hard time trying to stay ahead of that. That's where we have to have the issue. We have to have a stand again as a county with a resolution saying, you know what, we're just not going to follow these rules anymore because they're unconstitutional, and there are grounds to stand on that legally. So we have to quit beating around the bush here. And I'm not saying we don't need a bigger jail or we don't need a jail, but I mean, the real problem is what's really a crime and what isn't.
Well, exactly. And I think that's the bigger question. And I think, Terry, the public deserves to know really what's going on and not just having, you know, I don't want to just say politicians, but just people pontificate about this plan, that plan. I mean, there's one person in the county that knows the numbers of the county and the revenue and the allocations and what can be spent, and that's NOLDA. You know, ask Noel DeShort, because it's a really, really quick conversation. I mean, it's very, very in-depth in terms of the knowledge about where we are and bond opportunities and then loans. But when you look at it, I mean, right now I believe our budget book's done. It's at the county office, so people can come in and ask for a copy of that. You can FOIA that because our June budget hearings are coming up, and you can take a look at it yourself. We are allocating money towards a construction of a jail because that's something that this board majority has put into place a long time ago. But now as we look at it, or as at least as I look at it, now other supervisors, people may have different approaches and strategies to get there. For me, I've learned some hard lessons in business and in life about what you can afford and what you can't. And I've got, I think, a pretty good track record the last 10 years of understanding finances, how to stretch it, where to cut when necessary, and, you know, moving forward. So with that, Terry, thank you so much for calling in. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Kevin. Appreciate it.
You bet. Have a great day. So we're going to take a short break. When we come back, I'd still recommend anybody calling in if you want to call in, 530-605-4567. Again, that number one more time, 530-605-4567. And with that, we'll take a short break.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Redding.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history. It is with great honor and pride that we have been able to support several amazing local businesses like these over the years.
Thanks to the Redding Rancheria for their support of the Kiwanis Shasta Dam Club Food for Kids program. We send 185 bags of food home every Friday. They're instrumental in helping us.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Redding and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
Celebrate 31 years with us at Wind River Resort and Casino and join us for our $30,000 anniversary Swipe to Win drawing. Swipe your River Club card daily to win free slot play, free drawing entries, or other instant prize. Play any of your favorite slot machines and table games with your River Club card to earn entries. Join us for weekly drawings every Thursday starting at 7 p.m. for your chance to win free slot play or up to $3,100 cash. For complete details, see WinRiver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Thank you, Redding Rancheria, for supporting Tree of Life International Charter School. Gracias por todo su apoyo.
Thank you, Redding Rancheria!
The Shasta Lake Chamber of Commerce wants to thank the Redding Rancheria. They have sponsored our Friday night in the park for more than 18 years, and we really appreciate it.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
All right, we are back. And if you went to the rodeo last night, the last night, Veterans Night, it was American flags everywhere. And super, super humbling to be able to live in a place as great as Shasta County and as free as we are here in this nation. As much as I can rail against the government, and I'm part of that now, I'm part of the government, but government really is the people. It's we the people. It's all of you listening. And even those not listening, even those people that aren't engaged at all. And I would definitely say I was one of the farthest from being engaged you'd ever meet 3 years ago. I mean, if somebody at Thanksgiving or anywhere else wanted to start talking politics or religion, a lot of times I would just walk away. Not because I didn't especially care about my faith, but very often people just want to argue and instead of just having a conversation. So really often politics, religion comes up, I just walk away. But now I'm overly engaged in politics because I see what's been done to us and what's been done to my family, to my kids, to my now grandson. And we have to step up. We have to start getting involved. And that means it could be something as small as going to school board meetings and making your voice heard. It could be whatever your cause is, I think getting involved is a positive thing. Even if I don't necessarily agree ideology-wise with what you believe, I still think you should get involved. I think you should have a voice. So with that, we're going to jump back to some callers. Again, if you would like to call in, 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. Also, this show will be on my website, votekevincry.com. Again, votekevincry.com. I would encourage you to go there or find Vote Kevin Cry on Facebook. Like that. Sign up for the newsletter because we're sending some stuff out. So we have some exciting announcements about I'm going to start doing some more shows, but we'll talk about that here at the end of the hour. All right, going to a call. Jimmy, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Thanks for taking my call, Kevin.
You bet, sir. How are you doing?
I live in America and I got a job.
Oh, dude, it's a great place to live, and the fact you have a job is great. There's plenty of them out there, so some people that don't want to work.
Oh, yeah. If anybody wants to be a trucker, there's plenty of those jobs, well-paying jobs out there.
You know what? There's jobs in almost every vertical right now. I mean, you can graduate high school and go make $80,000 to $100,000 within 12 months if you want to do some skilled labor or you want to put time in. So, I mean, there's no shortage of opportunity. I'm sorry, Jimmy. What'd you have?
Or start at the bottom and work your way up to the top like I did.
Absolutely.
Or the middle. Or the middle. Anyway, so I agree with a lot of your callers about the lax laws in California perpetuating this situation. It's, you know, but the other part of the equation, I believe, which I am pretty upset about, is that how much money did we spend on that courthouse? Wasn't it $70 million or something?
You mean the state courthouse across the street?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So two things. One, that was before my time, but that wasn't our project. That's a state project.
Oh, okay. Well, it's just, I don't know. See, I'm not savvy on how all that works, but it just seems funny to me that we got all that money, or that all that money went to that new courthouse, and for years and years we've been begging for a new jail. And I called in a couple years ago when they started this project, and I talked to the district DA, and she said, well, we need more administrative people, and we're backed up with paperwork and all this, you know, excuses. Well, after the fact, when I hung up the phone, I thought, well, if you have all these repeat offenders out there and you're releasing people that are, you know, low-risk people that aren't like, you know, murderers and bank robbers and, you know, what have you, you have those people that are such repeat offenders. You have all that paperwork piling up, so it just doesn't fix the problem.
I agree. You know, and I think one of the things that Shasta County, needs to, I mean, more people need to get involved and really understand what's going on. But a lot of times people in elected office, or I don't want to say in power because that sounds really weird, but they don't want to wake a lot of people up because they like how it's gone for years. And I think this is where myself, and I'm just going to speak for myself. I mean, there's four other supervisors. Some have been there much longer than others. But, I've been here, 16 months now, 17 months? I've basically had to run an election for the majority of it after running an election. And people don't, what I'm really realizing is people don't want people to upset the apple cart and wake people up.
They're too comfortable in their position.
Oh, they're super comfortable. You know, and that's one of the things. And the hardest thing for me, Jimmy, about being in this spot is there's things I want to talk about that I can't because it puts the county at risk. But when you're talking about just departments that are bloated, that, you know, you would never spend the money on some of the things that we spend money on as a county, and we're taking those case by case, and we're making cuts, and we're making choices and decisions that are good for the taxpayers. But what people will do, and especially the media, they'll hijack that message as if, let's just say me. I won't even say the board majority, but I'll just say me, as if I'm trying to burn it all down. And it's like I want to have something that's sustainable. I want to leave it much better than I found it, and that's definitely happening. I mean, we're doing things right now that are moving the needle, and I think, you know, when it comes to the repeat offenders and going out, like, this is where, you know, the DA, our sheriff, the Chief Neal from probation. I mean, there needs to be, and the Board of Supervisors, there needs to be a very concerted effort about what are some very aggressive things we can do towards the state to start making some type of stand? Because when I went to, again, what's called RCRC, it's the Rural Counties Representatives of California, and I was down there with, you know, Tehama, Trinity, Siskiyou, Glen, Butte, you know, a bunch of rural counties that are in our region, you know, they, quite a few of them actually came up to me and said, you know, hey, how's it going? Because they knew I just had an election. And I would say the majority of those individuals are definitely, when I say supporters, I mean, they can't vote for me, but they think very much like I do. So some of the conversations, you know, quote unquote, around the dinner table on Thursday night are like, hey, what can we do collectively to start really banding together and say, man, we've had it. Like, we've had it. You're making our state, California, Sacramento, you're making our state so undesirable because crime is rampant. And as a caller mentioned earlier, that we're, I guess, they're letting out another 4,000 prisoners, which I hadn't heard that, but that doesn't surprise me. So whether that's true or not, I'm sure it probably is. But, you know, we have to start really thinking outside the box and getting aggressive because they're destroying our way of life. And, you know, for me, who's only been here a very short time, I mean, we have to rally the troops and get people engaged and know what's going on. So, Jimmy, I really appreciate you calling in. Never met you, but I'm very thankful that you called in. It's great to hear new voices and new listeners. So thank you.
Sure. All right. What my last quick comment is, it's just a revolving wheel. If administration is great, but if we keep letting these people out, it's just going to perpetuate and it's not going to get anywhere. Chasing our tail. All right. Thanks, Kevin. Have a good show.
You bet. Thank you, sir. All right. We're going to our next caller. It looks like Siskiyou Steve. Siskiyou Steve, are you there?
I'm here. Thank you.
How you doing?
I'm good. Yeah, I'm really, really encouraged by your meeting down there in the rural counties, talking it up and, you know, discussing the problem, and we've got to stand together. That's very, very, really encouraging, because that's what it's going to take. One county can't take it on themselves.
Yeah, well, so, I know Sheriff Johnson had reached out to all other sheriffs in the state about jail capacity and about help, and from what I'm told, him and I played phone tag this week. I mean, he's extremely busy, as you know, many of the listeners are, so I appreciate those that are listening. So I heard he only heard back from one other county about possibly housing inmates from Shasta County. So there's not a lot of collaboration there from the original you know, notice he sent out. But I did talk to a supervisor from Tehama that they said, you know, they're building, I think it's almost done, actually, if I understood correctly, but they're building, you know, another area for some transitional, you know, programs and jail beds. And he said, because of staffing, they don't have as many, I mean, they're not at capacity, but they probably could be. So I think there's some, you know, when I say opportunities, I mean, again, I don't know that side. Like, I'm not a sheriff, but I do know our sheriff cares deeply about public safety. So that's one thing, you know, I'll be reaching out to him again about, is just talking to other sheriffs locally, because what I do know is there are at least four or five supervisors that are really close geographically to Shasta County that say, hey, look, if you have some ideas or some things that we could bring together to work on some stuff. Now, I know people have brought up going to Lassen County and trying to use that prison, and that's just a complete non-starter. I mean, many people have brought that up to me, but jurisdictionally and who runs it and who's liable, and it goes on and on, why that just wouldn't work. But I would be curious to see if there would be a one or two county you know, coalition possibly. And again, that's something that I do. I mean, as an agent vocationally, or, you know, doing live events and bringing in, you know, huge jurisdictions. And I mean, I'm talking about, you know, when we did our event in Hong Kong, we're getting three or four government entities together to do that, between customs and the Chinese labor force from Shenzhen. I mean, you could pull it together. It's not going to be easy to do this for the jail, but we've got to keep trying, because what we're doing now is not working, and we cannot afford a jail unless there's a sales tax. So, Steve, thank you so much.
Let me finish, because my thing is that Wynn was bringing up the forensic audit for the last couple of years. He's been talking about it, Wynn Carpenter, and that would be where I would think you would start. We have the same problem up here. They want a new firehouse and a new jail. And, you know, people are outspending their budget in the cities. You know, the people come up here from down south. They take these positions. They want the salary from down south. And the rural areas can't afford those salaries from down south.
Yeah, I will tell you. Yeah, I will tell you, Steve, that I know Supervisor Kellstrom and I both ran on talking about a forensic audit, and we're doing a lot of that right now, and there's actually a lot of audits taking place. Our auditor controller.
Well, I think that will show up a lot. Your behavioral health takes 86% of the money, I think, is what I've heard, and the same thing up here in Siskiyou County.
Yeah, if you track...
That's what I'm encouraging first. We find out where the wasted money is, where the big government money is, you know, all the pork at the top that never gets down to the bottom.
Yeah, so here's what I'll tell you, Steve, though, because I got to get to another call. But here's what I'll tell you. Our June meetings, we're going to talk a lot, and one of the things that's really important people understand is the allocation of that money. Some of it's discretionary, some of it isn't. And I'll be the first person to say, look, if we have a program that's fully funded by the state or the feds, and it's a broken program, it is not working, it is not successful, it is not meeting metrics, then we should cut it. And people say, well, it's free money. It's not free money. It's taxpayers' money. The difference is it's going into Shasta County, and if it's a very failed program for a litany of reasons, we shouldn't be spending money on that. And the people that would argue that, well, it doesn't, you know, it's free, we should have it, it's like crazy, because I'll be able to give examples in June of programs that, you know, by June may or may not be cut, and they're completely ridiculous. They cost a lot of money, and again, it's not free money, it's taxpayers' money, and we're going to right a lot of those ships. All right, so we're going to go to Wendy. Wendy, are you there? Wendy, are you there? Wendy, are you there?
I am.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Great. Now, Wendy, I've been getting a few text messages. So, are you Wendy? Help me remember what your topic was that you wanted to talk about.
I'm the coordinator for Project Homeless.
That's right. Okay, perfect. So Wendy's with Project The event tomorrow is from 9 to 2 at the Civic. Is that correct? Homeless Connect?
That is correct.
Okay, give us a minute rundown of what it is and what you're looking for.
So once a year we meet at the Civic Center. We have all of the different booths that help with housing, getting jobs, getting haircuts, to help the homeless get what they need to get off the streets. And we do this from 9 to 2 in May tomorrow, actually. And we need to still get some more volunteers if anybody is available tomorrow. So we're going to be there by 8 to start setting up, and then we stay there till 3 to clean up after the event. So even if you can only come for a few hours, we just ask that you come and help out.
Okay, Wendy, if somebody wants to volunteer and help tomorrow at the Civic, where would they go? If they get there between 8 and 8:30, you know, half hour to an hour before it starts, do they ask for you?
They can ask for me or they can ask for Malcolm, and they just come through the main doors of the Civic Center.
Okay, so you heard that, listeners. If you can help out, ask for Wendy or Malcolm. That's at the Reading Civic Auditorium right downtown, right by the Sundial Bridge, all of that. Go through the main doors, ask for Wendy or Malcolm, get involved. Even if you can only volunteer for an hour or two, they'll take it. Is that correct, Wendy?
Yeah, that is correct, and we'd appreciate it so much.
Okay, well, I'll see you out there tomorrow. Thank you for the work you do, and I hope it goes really well.
Great. Thank you, Chris. Kevin.
No problem.
Sorry.
All right. No problem. All right. All right. So, Christina, do we have another caller? Looks like we do. Okay. Bruce, are you there? Bruce, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hey, Bruce. How you doing, sir?
Good morning. I'm doing great.
Good. Well, thanks for calling in. So what?
So I'm a no on the sales tax.
You're a no on the sales tax. Okay. Go ahead.
California is the highest tax state, or pretty close to the highest tax state in the nation. And as everybody knows, we keep getting less and less for it. So one of our biggest problems up here appears to be drugs, which is a mental health ordeal. So we should be able to take a lot of the mental health money and put it towards the drug problem.
No, yeah, no, I agree. Keep going. I mean, I know that you're, you feel strongly about this. And this is why I think this conversation is important. Bruce, you're a longtime Shasta County resident, over 40 years. You came here from the Bay Area, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And we still forgive you from coming from the Bay Area, but that's okay. You've been here a long time.
Hey, I came from the Bay Area, I came from Santa Rosa.
Okay. Santa Rosa. So, and I'm joking to all the people from the Bay Area. I mean, I'm kind of joking. It just depends. But in all seriousness, I mean, Bruce, you're a developer, contractor. You've supplied hundreds of people with jobs. You've built a lot of stuff. You have a lot of real estate around the area. What, I mean, and I know you've had to spend a huge amount of money replacing, you know, broken windows, or, you know, replacing wires or copper that have been stripped out of some of your buildings and some of your properties. I know nobody probably cares more about public safety and, you know, the impact it's had on entrepreneurs yourself, but the fact that you don't want a sales tax to curtail that, I think that's a great, I think it's important people understand that, because see, it's a weird thing, Bruce, because I feel very much like you. I feel like I'm tired. I'm tired of taxes. I'm tired of spending more money for all these other problems. But that's why I do think the conversation is important, because, if we're not going to take some different stands towards crime and really get aggressive thinking outside the box of what we're doing, we're going to keep getting the same result. Now, do you feel on the mental health side, Bruce? I will say Laura Birch is doing a phenomenal job in HHSA, and Christy Coleman, her assistant director, actually looking at programs, what's being effective, what's not. Is there any part of are you a complete no across the board? Never, no way, any sales tax on a jail?
Well, no. Well, number one, I feel that we're being taxed too much in California. And number two, I don't feel that the money is ever used properly or used correct. Kind of like Ronald Reagan says, is we're the government. We're here to help, not. Government takes everything and destroys it. They inflate it. They overpay for it. They take something that's simple and make it difficult. Look at our current insurance programs. Look at DMV. Look at every government program there is. It is bureaucracy upon bureaucracy, and it's just, it creates nightmares, okay? So the state rules and laws and regulations are what create a lot of this problem. They let these criminals be criminals. They are trying to create our society to be out of hand so that way they can take more control. The last thing we want is our government to have more control, okay? So most of these people are criminals. They're addicts of, you know, alcohol, drugs, whatever. They're addicts of one variety or another, and they don't get punished for it, okay? In order to get punished for it, you also need to be taken off the drugs and the alcohol and the things which you're on, okay? There's a lot of free programs out there for addicts and alcoholics and families and friends and members of addicts and alcoholics. What is free, okay? And our county does not utilize those programs, and those programs are people helping people. The county up here used to help promote these programs because it is other addicts helping other addicts stay clean, get off the drugs, get off whatever. And that is not brought up anymore from what I hear in most of these programs.
Well, one of the things, Bruce.
Al-Anon program.
Yeah. Hey, Bruce, I want to make this distinction too, and this is going to be a future show I have coming up. But I believe I don't want to misspeak, but I'm going to say something I'm working on is all the different nonprofits that were faith-based that have basically been driven out of California. And I saw a statistic that said faith-based programs, when it comes to recovery and making sustainable, long-lasting change, they're 87% more likely than non-faith-based programs. And I saw some really staggering numbers, but as the person brought these to me and I was looking at this, and I did this actually over a year ago, but I just reconnected with the person that was putting this together. So I'm going to do a show on everything about what California has done to drive some of these places out of California and make it where you can't even operate those type of organizations. But what's crazy to me is the fact that we're pushing programs that are proven to be broken, proven to be inept, proven to not work, and yet we have other programs that the government, the state of California, has just made it harder and harder and ratcheted down and made it where these organizations have left the state, and that's really troubling. Well,
let me stop you there, Kevin, because it sounds to me like you probably know nothing about AA, but they are virtually other addicts helping other addicts. They do not get any grant money, any outside money. The only funds they get, from my understanding, are donations from each other to keep the lights on wherever they're holding their meetings and that thing, and that kind of situation. So the meetings in the areas are based on the people in the areas. It's not based on anything government. A bunch of the judges and a bunch of the programs years ago used to recommend these people to go, mandate them to go for 30 days or 60 days or 90 days or whatever. But to my understanding, they don't do that anymore. But let me change subjects real quick, if you don't mind.
We got about 30 more seconds.
Okay, so one of the things I never hear about is a lot of other communities in Shasta County have farm camps. Okay? Farm camps got to be a lot cheaper to run, probably a lot more efficient, and a lot cheaper to build, or a lot cheaper to take over facilities and do something with it. And in these farm camps, I know in a lot of these communities, they used to let people go to work, come back in, you know, they leave at 7 in the morning, come back in at 5. And they have to pay so much a day to go to jail, and then they got to go pick up trash or whatever on the weekend, kind of different situation. Yeah, I haven't heard anybody talk about that. I brought it up to the sheriff. I brought it up to you. I've talked to several other people about it. And something that facility has got to be a cheaper situation to build, cheaper situation to run. I understand that we need a jail downtown, okay, but we can use our facilities downtown in order to keep the people going to court back and forth, and then once that's over, then they either stay in jail or they go to the farm camp and do what they need to do. But we have to get these people clean in order to resolve at least 50 to 60% of the problems, at least.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with any of that. I agree, and that's one of the conversations is do people commit crimes and then get on drugs, or are they on drugs, then they commit crimes, and you can go round and round with that. But I appreciate you calling in, Bruce, really do. And this conversation definitely isn't going to stop today. We're going to keep talking about it. And then if you can make Tuesday's meeting at the Board of Supervisors at 5:30, I would encourage you to be there around 6 o'clock is when we will probably get rolling with the actual meeting somewhere in there, because we're starting with closed session. Thank you. Thank you again, Bruce.
Okay. Thank you, Kevin.
You bet.
Have a great day.
So, again, if you haven't already, go to votekevincry.com or go on Facebook, Vote Kevin Cry on Facebook, follow the page. So I have a couple of announcements. I'm going to start, as many of you know, the Shasta County Board of Supervisors voted for raises, and we did that about 3 weeks ago. I voted no, not because I don't agree with them. Ideologically, I couldn't vote for my own raise, but also I'm in a different situation to some degree. What I was putting forward was a lot of other counties have constituent services, and I was going to bring something forward with that. Like, I was talking to a gentleman, a supervisor from Butte County, great guy. And one of the things, each supervisor there has one constituent services rep. So, I told the staff, CEO Rickert, that I was just going to kill bringing that item forward, and then I'm going to figure out a way with the raise to, just hire a person privately to help me. And it's not because I can't do the work, because some people say, I've been a supervisor, X amount of years, and I've never – well, yeah, but – leveraging the right people, you can get so much more done. And that's what I want to do. I want to deliver so much value to people, and I really want to make sure that that's done. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to be going to weekly shows, and on that platform, I will be talking about that very soon. So make sure you go to VoteKevinCry.com or Vote Kevin Cry on Facebook. Follow me to get updates on that, because